Good evening, listeners. This is Finbar Motherway welcoming you to the first ever Kilinch Monday Club radio programme. Tá fáil to roiv illig. I would like to welcome all listeners, but particularly our associates of the Kilinch Monday Club. Now, before I proceed, I would like to thank the management and technical staff at Community Radio Yall for their cooperation and encouragement in putting this programme together. Later, you will hear voices who, were it not for this gentle encouragement from the CRY people, may not have got involved at all. You will hear Sean McCarthy chatting with his cousin Fintan McCarthy about strolling through Glenbower Wood. And later, Sean, along with George Fogarty, talk with Helen Kennedy about the early days of our club. So all have done extremely well in their preparation for this, our maiden voyage. Now, if today was a normal first Monday in September, our club would have met this morning at Killer Hall. I expect that there would have been approximately 60 people, a certain amount of excitement. It would be like children returning to school. We would have had a cuppa, a chat, a guest speaker, and then, towards the end, people would have been anxiously awaiting for the final number for the full house at the bingo. But that didn't occur this morning. So in its place, we are endeavouring to bring our members together through the medium of radio, hoping that they will relax and enjoy some chat, some music, and a very special guest who will enthrall you all in a little while. Now, for those who may not be familiar with the goings-on at Kilinch Monday Club, I wind back to spring 2006. 5 members of the then Kilinch Community Council agreed to set up a club for seniors and others who may be available or interested in some social interaction. Although using some poetic license, Morris O'Connor, a native and a resident in our parish, recently penned a few lines about our early days, and I quote, "Finbar rang Olivia, who quickly called Kathleen. They then joined together with Joan and Noreen. So after a lengthy meeting, by agreement of all, for the first Monday of the month, they booked the local hall." And so was born the Kilinch Monday Club. These 5 people engaged a number of willing persons to help, and most of those people are still involved with us and working tirelessly for the club. The usual format is assembly and chat, of course, tea and scones, very often a guest speaker, or it may be a musical item, bingo, we tried a bit of reminisce, and so on, and people spend a pleasant 2 hours or so, as I said, usually the first Monday of the month. When we began, we had 20 to 25 people in a smaller room. Now we have 60 to 65 people regularly in the main hall. We have 180 on our mailing list. Usually we have a guest. It might be somebody telling stories, talking about weather lore. We've had many aspects of health discussed. Craft. We had a lady one time talking about her experiences on the foreign missions. We've had laughing yoga. We've had lots of stuff. But between those monthly meetings, we also have classes. And those have dealt with physical and mental health, well-being, yoga, gardening, computers, mobile phones, and lots of other topics as well. We've had art and craft. And as I put my thoughts together for this programme, I can recall visiting, I suppose it was maybe 8 or 9 years ago, one of those classes, and I remember clearly six people, and they were doing some painting, and they had wonderful work done. And those six were Tom O'Regan, Michal Lee, Pat Barron, Siobhan Foley, Mary Motherway, and Sheila Cotter. Alas, those six have left us. And so this morning we remember all those people who came to our club over the past 14 years and who sadly have gone to the other side. Now the club is involved in travel. We've done evening trips to Cork Opera House, Liam Lawton concert, Conna parties, down to Rossmore to a play and so on. We've had day trips all over Munster. We've been on one side to Waterford, on the other side as far as Foynes, Limerick, etc. Twice we've been to Áras an Uachtaráin. We had a full day Dublin city tour early on, which was very successful. And we've had even a mystery tour organised by Helen and Sandra. And would you believe, they managed to keep it a mystery right to the very end. We've been away for 3 or 4 days. I think I counted something like 8 or 9 venues within Ireland. And groups have gone to England, Scotland and Wales. Well, so much for the background of Killinch Monday Club. I think it's time for a bit of music. I do recall that on a few occasions we went to the cinema to see André Rieu, and I think it would be appropriate that we'd have a little of his music right now. Thank you.
guest today is a very well-known lady in Kildare and surrounding areas. Welcome to Helen Kennedy. Helen, we'll talk about the Monday Club. You were involved at the very start. How did you get involved? How did you get going into it?
Well, Sean, before I start answering your questions now, I just want to apologise to any member that was in the start of the Monday Club in case I'll forget them. Because it's 14 years since we started, and I'm 14 years older now than I was then. So there might be a little senior moment that I hate to admit such a thing as a senior moment at my age. But we started, our first Monday Club was in March. I wasn't involved at all because it was started by members of the community council. Kathleen Ronan, as far as I know, it was Kathleen's brainchild. Now, the community council was only just after being renewed. We had gone out to a steering committee and we got the Monday Club, the community council, up and running again in the community because it was gone for a long time. But we had a lot of new people now and we went around and I was on the steering committee, but I wasn't on the community council. But as far as I can remember, it was Kathleen Ronan's brainchild. And I think Anne O'Neill was the chairperson. And there was Kathleen Ronan, Finbar Motherway, Joan Canary, Olivia O'Rourke, Noreen Power. Now there was also, but I'm not sure, was she on the first one or not, she used to come to help us, Anne Gleeson. Used to come also. And they were the people that were running the Monday Club. I only came over to help, to wash cups, make tea, and do anything else I could. But when we got to the hall, we weren't very well prepared. We had no heating, and I had to come down here, home to my own place. I said to Finbar, I have, you know, the little electric storage heaters. And Finbar said, I'll drive it down and we'll bring them over. And I think it was three of them we brought over. But we had 20 people on the first day. And, you know, it was a great triumph for us because it was something that we didn't know where we were going. Like, we just started this in the hope that it would go well. And then they were the committee, the kind of committee, because we didn't have a Monday Club committee, but they were the people that were running the Monday Club for the first few months. And then gradually, along the way, we lost some of them. Olivia got a job and Noreen had other commitments. And Joan, I'd say, was about to leave. Well, Kathleen stayed with us all the time. She was our treasurer, Kathleen Ronan. Kathleen was with us up to very recently, and she was a wonderful treasurer. And I just like to pay tribute to Kathleen because I was in the village. I used to be sent to the credit union because I'd lodged the money in that, because, and if there was money to be drawn, because I lived near it. But I wasn't the treasurer. I was only just helping Kathleen. But then when we finally got a committee together and we all nominated Finbar as chairman, and we sorted ourselves out. I'm not sure now at that stage even had we a treasurer, had we a secretary, and we had the vice chair for a very long time after. But when I needed help with anything, Kathleen was very good and she was great. And years after, like I'm going way down the line now, when I was doing most of the treasurer anyway, because Kathleen had other commitments, but she'd done a whole night, I remember, herself and Mary Collins one night, helping me out to get the treasurer's report ready, and they gave hours of their time. And I'd like to say, Mary joined us not too long after we got started. Mary was one of the people that joined us as well. And then, you know, we got 20 people, we got 25 people. We were looking at ourselves, we got 30 people. And the numbers were growing. And we, you know, it was great because we were, and then we decided we should go on an outing. It was Fintan McCarthy, actually, when he joined us, that put us in way of Cormac O'Connor for our 3-day trips. Fintan went somewhere with his sister, with Glanworth, and he came back and he told us about it. And we decided, we got in touch with Cormac O'Connor, and so there was no staying home after that. Our first trip, it was 3-day trip to Killarney. We went with Paul Fogarty's bus. We got an offer from the Brehon Hotel, but we'd have to have 40 people. And we ended up with over 40 people. And that was our first 2 nights away from home. And that's where it took off from. And then Fintan joined us, and we went off with Cormac O'Connor. And until last year, we were going on 3-day trips with Cormac O'Connor. Now, we went to some fabulous places over the years. Like, I mean, we went to Scotland. And another time, I didn't go for some reason, but they went to the Lake Country in England, Dennisbury, and people like that. I can remember people going with them, but for some reason, I didn't go on that one. So we didn't just stay in Ireland. We went to England and we went to Scotland. And, of course, a great take again, we went to north of Ireland. We went to Bundoran was our last stop in the north of Ireland. Before that, we were in, our first was Letterkenny, and then another time we were in Monaghan, and then we were in Bundoran. So we done a lot of travelling in our time, and we never failed to fill a bus.
No, I just want to ask you about, you organise a lot of the tours, and I think one of the best ones we had was the mystery tour. We were driving and driving and driving, and no one knew where we were going eating or where we were going. Was there a lot of work involved in organising all them things?
Well, here now, I must pay tribute to Sandra O'Brien, because she's a wonderful girl, and she was the real organiser behind it all. She rang hotels, I done the buses, but she done an awful lot. She got prices, she sourced places to go, and she has great ideas. But the mystery tour for me was the one I enjoyed the most, because the fun was people wondering where were we going. People taking bets that we'd make a slip, and I'd slip deliberately and say Wexford so that people would think that I had made a slip. And we never said where we were going. And we were on the bus and they still didn't know where they were going. And I remember one stage I walked down the bus and I was looking at women's shoes and asking them, did they have any stronger pair of shoes? Because I saw the mountains in Mitchelstown and I told them we might be taking a mountain walk. But as it happens, our first stop was Linstall Abbey. And we'd done a tour of the Abbey and we had lovely tea. And to Sandra that organised it, we had mass and a tour of the Abbey and tea and scones. And then we came back to Turles and we went from there then back, because with time and everything, like you, very hard to time, like you could go be out all day. We came back to the Gold Coast Hotel in Dungarvan, which Sandra sourced again for us. And we came into Dungarvan, of course, they all said, oh, we're going to Lawless, and of course we passed Lawless. Oh no, they said the park, and we passed the park. I told them we were going to,
Well, I think we got lost that night in Dungarvan. We were driving around and driving around.
Oh,
I know where we were going.
Paul's driving. Owen, I think it was Owen McGovern. Owen took a wrong turn somewhere. And we done a bit of a mystery tour that we didn't expect to do. Because, you know, but this could happen with Owen from time to time. We could take a wrong turning somewhere, but we always ended up in the right place for a finish. And I must say, I never got a bad feedback from any of the tours. Now, there was a lot of hard work, and I wouldn't feel I was on my holidays from the Monday Club until the day after the tour was over. Because even though everyone, the Monday Club might be finished in June, we mightn't be going till July or August. And we'd still be working, Sandra and myself, on our job. And until we get, and I'd like also to thank our treasurers again, who were a great support to us, and Finbar helped us to cost everything, because we are a committee. Nobody in our team, there's no I in our team. Everybody on the committee have the same say, and it's a great thing. We all work very well together. We've no disputes, we never have any, and there are late members. I'd like to remember Michal Lee and Siobhan Foley and Pat Barton. They were the recent late members, like, who were on our committee. There are probably others that I've forgotten, but like I say, you'll have to forgive me.
And this year has gone by now. We've been only after about two outings at least, and we'll be going away for the 3 or 4 day tour. We've nothing this year. And more than likely, we want to have a Christmas dinner. So we're kind of on a new venture now. We're starting this radio show. How do you think that'll go?
Well, I hope that we have a record listenership And that anyone out there who don't come to Monday Club, all I'm hoping for is that the hall will be big enough when we are able to get back, and that we'll be able to take all the people we're expecting after they all hear this wonderful show going out every the first Monday of every month. And, you know, don't be embarrassed if you didn't hear it the first time. A friend will tell you, but make sure you get the second one.
Very good, Helen. Thanks very much. You are very good.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you, George.
Here in Kellen you will find friendliness all the time, 'cause we're surrounded by beauty, oh so deep. You may visit every town, from Cork to County Down, still the memory of this place you'll always keep. As I sit here on the bridge to view the old mill, where many a hard day's work it was done, where the river desert flows gently through the stones, on its banks we always had lots of fun. But what's special to me is the peace and tranquility as I walk through the lovely Glen Bower. Those woods hold sweet memories of first Sundays in May, when the people came from miles and miles around. Great festive day, lasting friendships they were made, rambling through the lovely Glen Bower. Then on the way back, a drink at the old patch, we laughed and sang as the music it was playing. Were such happy times, and still you'll find a spirit of contentment and of joy. Many stop for a chat, some just to relax, or sample the pleasures closely by. When my time has come to go, then I do not know, it's here I will forever want to stay. Where my heart it is so happy, 'cause it's heaven to be. There's no place like the lovely Kellen. Where my heart it is so happy, 'cause it's heaven to be. There's no place like the lovely Kellen. There's no place like the lovely Kellen.
We hope that as a feature of our programmes, we will have a special guest. Perhaps a storyteller, a poet, somebody recalling a special incident. Maybe a musical guest, could be vocal or instrumental. But for this, our first programme, we're very happy to have a former parishioner, now resident in the Father O'Neill country, a granddaughter of the prolific writer and a newspaper correspondent, Dan the Taylor Callaghan, of Inch, a daughter of Charlie and Kathleen, both accomplished performers on stage. This lady herself is an active community worker, a writer, a holder of many awards for theatrical performance throughout Ireland, and most importantly, always a friend of Killa Inch Monday Club. I welcome Mary Flavin Colbert.
Thanks, Finbar, for that lovely introduction. I hardly recognise myself. Just as well you gave the genealogical background. My grandfather was Dan Callaghan, and my mother, Kathleen, was always very proud of him and of his work and of the life that he led. And I suppose we were all born into a template of that. He had a wonderful love of drama, and indeed drama was something that kept rural Ireland going back in the 30s and 40s. Men would tell stories of rehearsing a play and then bringing it on tour. On the back of a truck, they'd take off on a Sunday evening, particularly on the Sundays in Lent, and go to far-flung places like Ahada and Clashmore and Dungourney, all over the place. That was a way of, I suppose, a social media before its time. So way back then, they were having a ball, doing plays, socialising, meeting people that they'd never otherwise have met. In one of his poems, he actually talks about getting a play on stage, and really not much has changed. It says, "At his post in open doorway, Keith has taken up his stand, smiling on each new arrival as he takes their cash in hand. Stewards too are getting busy. People to their seats are shown. Working hard are Brian and Neville, while the band plays Gary Owen. Then the audience starts to listen. Not a gesture will they miss. Trials and troubles are forgotten in this hour of perfect bliss." And we'd like to think that when we put on a show or a play, that that's what we do for people, that they forget their trials and troubles. As Maureen Potter used to say, make them laugh. When I was a young girl, around 4 years old, the whole house was in preparation for the St. Patrick's Night concert that was held annually in the hall in Inch. It was a very small hall, but it was always packed. The pupils from the national schools of Inch and Park would perform, and there was a big sweepstakes for the Grand National, which was run in March as well. I can remember preparing for my first performance. I don't think I was actually in school, because it was my mother who taught me a poem. And I got a new blue pinafore that was bought in McGuan's drapery shop in Yall. I was Midasa. I wore my brother's white shirt inside my pinafore, and I had big, thick green ribbons on my hair, especially for St. Patrick. The poem began with, "Grandma told me all about it, told me so she couldn't doubt it, how she danced. My grandma danced long ago. How she held her pretty head, how her dainty skirt she spread, how she leaned and rose long ago." And that was long ago. My next encounter with drama was watching my mother one day doing a very strange thing. She had corks from bottles, and there were lots of corks back then, and she was blackening them in the fire. and I couldn't figure out why she was doing this. But they were actually doing a play, and the play was called, I think, The Belle of Boule of Oak. But it told the story of a young girl who had gone to England, and she'd come home with her husband, and he was black. The corks turned out to be the method of making a poor, innocent young fella from Inch into a black man, because he just smeared all the black onto his face. You see, we were very inventive in those days. I do remember getting a terrible fright when he appeared on stage and having to be taken out of the hall. The hall in Inch was just part of our life. And back in the late 60s, Father Buckley came to our village as curate. And it was a perfect storm, because just around that time as well, Michael Reardon bought a farm in Mount Uniac. And with Father Buckley's drive and with Michael Reardon's genius, a pantomime was got together. It drew on all our local resources. The cast were all locals, and the chorus was made up of young people from both Inch and Killa. Machna Thuha was a thing at the time, and we all came together, and those pantomimes went on for years. But that first pantomime was very special. It was called Goody Two Shoes, and our opening chorus went, "Welcome here to Inch, happy as can be, all good friends and jolly good company. Never mind the weather, never mind the rain, as long as we're together, whoop, she goes again. La-di-da-da-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company." That was a long time ago as well. We went all over East Cork with the pantomime. There was an army of men drawing the set from one place to another. We went to Castle Lyons one night. We came here to the town hall in Yall, and it was such a grand building to be performing in. I can remember climbing up into that little balcony area that's within the ballroom and looking down on what was happening below and thinking, God, we have arrived. Pantomimes went on. And from those pantomimes, a core of people who were really both talented and interested emerged. Around that time, Killa Machna Ferma had also won in All-Ireland with their one-act play. I think it was called A Song for Sixpence. But from all that group of people emerged Glenbower Theatre. And Glenbower Theatre did so many three-act plays. It was a wonderful organisation. There were lots of people involved, and I hate mentioning names because I'll surely leave somebody out, but Michael Reardon was the man, because with his acting experience and his lovely personality, he was able to get the best out of everyone that went on stage. My loyal partner in crime during those years was the lovely Siobhan Foley. Siobhan would have been a mother to me within drama, because I went into that a very young woman. I think I was just 18 when I did the first play with them, where I played the grandmother in Sive. And Siobhan was Mina. And for anyone that knows the play, Granny and Mina did not get on. But that was on stage only. Siobhan was always helping, and all down through the years, we developed a great old rapport. And as she once said, we could say anything to one another. Glenbower was, as I said, an amalgamation of all the people who were interested. You had William Kelly, and he was from Ballyquirk, and I remember, don't know the play, but we rehearsed a whole play down in his sitting room, and Noreen bringing us lovely tea and scones afterwards. Bill Foley, James O'Mahony and Holly Lee were our set creators, and it was many a time, particularly in festivals where you had to build your set on the day, but it was many a time that as the curtains opened and the audience applauded, the last few belts of the hammer were given to Nails, and you hoped that everything would stay together. And it always did, to be fair to them. We discovered that James was a great man to paint and to wallpaper and to fix wallpaper, because every time the set came down, it had to be mended when it went back up again. There are many great old memories from nights that we were away with Glenbower, and a lot of them would relate to trips down to Rossmore. Rossmore is down in West Cork near Clonakilty, and we were greeted with open arms down there. I can remember one night we completely forgot the makeup, the box that all the makeup was in. We had nothing. And the Rossmore lads said no problem at all, and got their own makeup and their own makeup person to come in and do us all up. We'd perform the play, there'd be an adjudication afterwards, and after that the music would start and the pints would flow, because they had a little bar in the corner, and the sing song would start and the dancing, and it was often 3 in the morning. The bus would be outside waiting, and we would make our way reluctantly back to the bus, but know that we'd be back again for a great session next year. They're fabulous memories to have. I can remember going down one night with a macro group. It was to what we call a one-act festival, short plays. And it was essential to our play that we have a lamp. I can recall one night going down to Rossmore, and I never had a good sense of direction, so we got lost. I had come from Killa with the globe of a lamp, an old oil lamp, in my hand, because it was precious and it wasn't to be broken. And I held it the whole way. We should have been there, but there was no sign of Rossmore, so we decided we'd stop at a house. So we went in and we asked the man where was the house, where was Rossmore. And I will always remember his words. He said, "Tubbin aged at the gable end of the house." Now it was jet black. We definitely didn't know which way east was, and we certainly couldn't even see the gable end of the house. But we all just got into a fit of laughing, and eventually we did find it. I opened the door, got out, and the lamp fell out of my arms and went into 1,000 pieces on the road. Oh, I'll never forget it. I have forgotten the play, but I will not forget the night I broke the globe. I suppose some families are, I remember being envious of the Collinses, because they were always going to GAA matches when we never went to any. And there was another family who had a horse and they seemed to be going to the races forever. But for us, it was drama. And that's no bad thing either. What I've learned is that, you know, your career on the GAA pitch probably ends when you're 35, but you know, you could multiply that by 2 and you're still going in drama. I've had great success in more recent years. We've done plays all over the place and with great success. But really, for me, what's important is that you do the best you can with the part you get wherever you get to perform it. And if that's in front of 10 people or in front of 300 people, it doesn't matter. You do your absolute best. My father instilled that in us always, that you go out and you do your best. And I'd like to think that we did our best and continue to do our best in whatever way, whether that is in talking to you today or whether it is in performing before you soon, I hope. I know these restrictions, and we are going through scary times, but we are going through them. And we've got thus far, and hopefully it won't be too long before we have live performances again, because there is nothing like a live performance. And for me, there's nothing like a live performance in front of an audience in my beloved hall in Inch, with the rafters rattling with laughter. When Dan Callahan wrote his poem, The Spreading Fir Tree, I don't think he realised how important it would become for people from Inch and the surrounding areas. Everybody calls it the road down to Inch, but when you look back in his writings, it's actually called The Spreading Fir Tree. And I think it's beloved of all people in Inch because there are so many place names mentioned in it. And as a young girl, I can remember Tom Fitzgerald during the summer when he'd be on holidays coming over to Mem, and they having a big powwow up in the room, and we were told to be quiet. And after a while, you'd hear Tom breaking into song when he'd sing The Road Down to Inch. And he told Mem once that he performed the song at a fish in England, and that the adjudicator said that it was a beautifully written piece, that it was clear that the man loved the area that he was from. And I suppose when you read through the words, you can see it. One of the last verses goes, "How well I remember those walks by the Mwiling, when the setting sun's rays lingered o'er Barradaw, where the lamplight shone forth from each cottage and sheiling, and the evening shades closed in a round listener awe. Oh, the pranks that we played up around Ballycolman, their memory will haunt me from over the sea. But I'll walk once again, ere I yet am an old man, down the roadway to Inch by the spreading fir tree." Beautiful, melodic words, and they are beautifully sung by the one and only Tom Fitzgerald.
God be with the old comrades and friends of my childhood. God guard them and guide them wherever they roam. Some are far, far away from the bogs and the wild woods, the valleys and hills of their own native home. A few are still left where the Toorig is flowing. On its broad banks they ramble, contented and free, and wander at night when the moonbeams are showing the road down to Inch 'neath the spreading fir tree. O land of my youth, who with beauty is glowing, all the love of my fond heart is centered in thee. And if God gives me strength, soon again I'll be going the road down to Inch 'neath the spreading fir tree. How well I remember those walks by the Mwiling, when the setting sun's rays lingered o'er Barradaw, Ere the lamp light shone forth from each cottage and the ceiling, and evening shades closed in a round listener. Oh, the pranks that we played up in old Ballycolman, their memory still haunts me far over the sea. But I'll go once again, ere I become an old man, the road down to Inchneath the spreading fir tree. I see the old church every night in my dreaming, a picture more fair ne'er an artist has drawn, with nature's best robing the hillsides are teeming, and daisies shine out o'er the stately Knockawn. Strap on willing's as fair as when first I beheld it, its golden clad sides are a pleasure to see. The view from Shaun's Cross, nothing ever excelled it, on the road down to Inchneath the spreading fir tree. O land of my youth, who with beauty is glowing, all the love of my fond heart is centered in thee. And if God gives me strength, soon again I'll be going the road down to Inchneath the spreading fir tree.
Up next now we've Fintan McCarthy, a man who does a lot of walking every day, and he's going to tell us, he put his thoughts to paper one day about a special walk, and now he's going to tell us all about it.
This is a walk I done in 2016. It was actually the autumn of 2016, and for 6 weeks the weather was unreal, beautiful. So when I came home, this is what came into my head and my mind. Today is the 1st of November. It is a holy day, the Feast of All Saints, Mass at 11. For the past 6 weeks, the weather is beautiful for late autumn. Today, I went to my daily walk, up the McGeeler Road, up Glen Ann, as far as John O'Hardin's Cross, where David Corden's new house is. Came back to Mike Sheen's, down past the ruins of the old house, into the wood, at the corner of the field. Down by the side of Long Mylene, onto the wood road, down the hill past the cave. The beautiful colours of the tree in the evening sunshine is something to behold. I thought of the poem, The Tree, Only God Can Make a Tree. When I walk Glen Bower, it feels like heaven, I hope. Onto the white bridge, down the roadside of the lakes that was, to feel the falling leaves crushing under my feet is something I can't explain. Up to the metal bridge, I just stopped to remember the swing gates in the wall when we were young kids, those were the days. Down the road, past the playground, what joy it was to hear children playing in the slides and swings in late evening. I am home after 2.5 hours walk. I thank God for them all.
Very good, Fintan, very well put. There was a lot of thought went into that for one day. I does a lot of walking myself up Glen Bower, but I never thought of putting words to a song or anything like that. But Mary Daly did about 30 years ago. She wrote a song all about Glen Bower. And I think it'd be a great way to wind up the programme with the Killer Choir singing Old Glen Bower.